You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Wednesday morning, May 21st, 2025. Another beautiful morning to have you here up north, albeit a little damp. Live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're spending your mornings, listening across the Civic Media Radio Network, or on the app, or on social, or by podcast. We appreciate you starting your day right here. I've got a question for you. Was it not spring when I left here about 2 weeks ago for that trip? It did stay nice for a little while, didn't it? Before we got this, whatever this is. And Tony right away is commenting on YouTube. Hey, 2 days in a row with Pat. Tony, that's actually a very good point because I'm only here for a few days next week too. Anyway, it was filling up the gas tank, taking the groceries out to the car. It was like a sideways rain, cold blast, the likes of which you'd almost prefer some winter weather, but it was very much March-like out there. And I guess we're getting that for the entirety of the day again today, but we will talk to meteorologist Brittany Merlot and get her full state forecast and updates coming up in just a bit. Coming up on the program today, and now yesterday was admittedly getting back in the saddle, jet lag, talking about vacation, not really wanting to dwell too much on all the news that I missed, but we're definitely back in the swing of things here. We are starting today, tomorrow, and Friday, a second round of interviews with the candidates who want to be state chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. Ben Wickler is leaving. There are three gentlemen who would like to win that post at next month's state Democratic Party convention. We will talk to Devin Remicker today, Joe Zepecki tomorrow, William Garcia on Friday. And by the way, Ben Wickler had stayed out of the race at first. He has made an endorsement. And Devin Remicker is going to be talking about that with us coming up in our 8 o'clock hour. At 7:30 in our weekly homeroom segment, where we talk about public education, we're going to talk about the Assembly Education Committee with one of the Democrats on the committee, Christian Phelps, the new state representative from the Eau Claire area and formerly with the Wisconsin Public Education Network. So he knows a thing or two about education and what things like the Assembly Education Committee should be working on and kind of aren't right now, as Christian will tell us. Melissa Baldoff will have our weekly climate check all about the price tag of Donald Trump's big, beautiful bill. And by price tag, I mean all the savings that are going to be lost in moving toward a cleaner and greener economy. We'll talk to Melissa Kay from our station in Wisconsin Rapids, James Kelly from our station in Chippewa Falls, and Earl Ingram talking about what he's working on for stations in southeast Wisconsin. So we've got a real whip around of civic media talent today to tell you all about. And of course, you're welcome to join us throughout the show as well. Our number is 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. That's also the number where you can send us a text message and you can call or text us from the Civic Media app. Or you can just get in the comment sections of Facebook or YouTube. That again would be the Up North News Facebook or YouTube pages and the Civic Media Facebook or YouTube pages, and put some comments out there. Tony puts many up there from Ashland up on YouTube, and he asks, no more cultured European Pat. I mean, Greg Bach is here, and I'm not going to say I'm not ever going to be cultured again. I didn't feel like I had my pinky up in the air while I was sipping my coffee yesterday, Mr. Bach. Did I come off as too cultured?
You came off as very pro-Europe. You were like, light rail and tea times and...
Oh, I'm sorry.
Universal health care, you commie.
I should have explained that. I would have been all for those things long before going on this latest vacation and still very much am. How are things in Radio Park today?
Quiet. Very quiet, Pats.
They are, aren't they? I know.
It's always quiet here. It's just me and Don Rosen. We're always just we're the workhorses who open this shop.
That's true. Well, how about if I get you some company?
Sure.
Okay.
Is there somebody in the room that I don't know about?
Yeah. In fact, somebody in Madison is liable to turn on a camera in, what's that studio called? Is it A2?
It's A2. It's pronounced A2.
A2? It's A2. Called A2?
Yep.
And on the screen it says here, Luke and Parker. I don't see any Luke Mathers, but yeah. I do see, there's Luke peeking out.
He's hiding. Creeping into frame.
I know, he's hiding behind the show logo with my face on it and just kind of drifts out there like we're a little two-headed monster. But Parker is here. Parker Olson, right?
Yes, sir.
All right. Hey.
Wait. Hold on.
Uh-oh. Yes, Greg.
Parker.
Yeah.
Peter Parker. Olson. Jimmy Olson. You have the most comic book name ever.
It's pretty close. I've gotten Peter Parker a lot, yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's get the question. Let's get the proper answer. Parker Olson, you say? Olson? Olsen?
Mm-hmm. I'm an E-N.
You're an E-N. Oh, I'm sorry. We've checked the answer. No, that's judges
that
say.
Wrong?
Yeah. Oh, there. Seriously, we have an expert on this now. What's the difference, Parker, between Olson and Olson? E-N and O-N?
I don't know.
Oh, my gosh. I thought you guys were like all in the club together and you just decided to go one way or the other on this thing.
I've met plenty of Olsons with the O-N and I think they're wrong.
I always feel like Olsons with the E-N are like even more Scandinavian. Like is there something like I have a Viking boat in my backyard right now if you want to try to test my bona fides.
Well, not quite that bad, but definitely am Norwegian. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's get the people going. Why? What is it? Parker is joining the show here and
Yay.
Is going to be helping engineer and produce this thing because Greg Bach, as handsome and capable as he can be, if you're familiar with the Ed Sullivan Show and the old skit of keeping all the plates spinning on the sticks, we have been asking this man to spin way too many plates on way too many sticks for way too long, and Greg, help has finally arrived. We got somebody new to play with in the sandbox here.
You know what that means?
What?
I'm just going to play every sound effect before I leave.
You're not leaving.
Well,
you're still here.
I'm not going to be here this early.
Well, ever?
Oh, my God. We're not doing this right now. My goodness. I feel like I'm explaining the birds and the bees to a child right now. What? What do you mean?
That's not what my memo said. But anyway, let's get the full Parker Olson story, where you're from and what brought you to Civic Media.
Yeah, yes, sir. So I'm actually from Madison, Wisconsin. I went to La Follette High School right here in the area. Then I went to UW-Whitewater, just graduated on Saturday. Graduated with a degree in journalism, some electronic Ooh. Media stuff. Yeah,
sorry. Again, the sad trombones would come in. I'm sure journalism degree, I'm sure it's great.
Hey, Parker, congratulations on graduating.
Yes, well, thank you.
Yes.
Yeah, so, really excited to get going.
All right. Anything else about family history, local history, hobbies?
Medical history.
Medical history, yeah. So,
folks, please, no HIPAA violations.
No, okay, all fair right. enough.
Parker, nice to have you here, and I'm sure that with Luke Mathers as your handsome and capable instructor, you will be mastering this this board and this program in no time at all.
There you go. Thank you,
all
sir.
Right. So we'll look forward to hearing more from Mr. Parker along the way. Here's Brittany's state forecast for today. The massive low pressure system heads east today, but still wraps around some dreary and damp conditions, she writes. So we're stuck with below average temperatures now. Warmer weather is on the way for the weekend. Although I'd say warmer by comparison. Let's not call it warm weather on the way. But for today, scattered drizzle and on and off rain. Temps across the state today, highs will be in the 50s statewide. Northeast winds still at 10 to 20 miles an hour. That's wind chill weather, folks. Tonight, mostly cloudy still. Lows tonight in the upper 30s up north, low 40s in the southern part of the state, and a north wind at 5 to 15 miles an hour. It's 44 degrees here in Chippewa Falls right now. We have a daily newsletter that we put together at Up North News. You can sign up for it at upnorthnewswi.com. And in today's edition, this is National Bike Week. And While today isn't a great day for a bicycle commute, there are still plenty of days in Wisconsin where it would be nice to ride to work if there were proper trails, supportive employers, bike-friendly businesses, and more. But don't worry, there is a national group that rates all of these things, and we've got a link in today's newsletter all about Wisconsin's most bike-friendly hometowns and organizations. And for those of you who'd rather stay behind the wheel, have you ever wondered how much it costs you, literally, to sit in traffic? You can read about the expense of traffic jams in today's edition. Also new on our website and linked in the newsletter, the Wisconsin Race Guide for 2025, all the best places to take part in everything from a walk to a fun run to a 5K, 10K, half marathon, full marathon, all that and more. Check it out on our website, upnorthnewswi.com. Click subscribe up in the top banner, and you can be part of our daily newsletter, as well as the weekend edition that I put out on Sunday mornings, where our question of the week deals with how many valid political parties, the kind that actually have a chance of winning, how many would be the right number to have in this country? Are you happy with the two-party system? Do we only need one good third-party option? Do we need a third and a fourth party, one that's kind of center-left, and then the other party can be far left, and one that's center-right, and the other can be farther right? Do you want more parties than that? Some that focus only on things like, you know, the environment or on other social issues or immigration, things like that. So we're getting a nice range of answers from people everywhere from, you know, two parties to five parties that they'd like to see out there in the country. And I mention all of it having come back from that trip in Portugal last week where they had elections. They have 10 parties. And it's very tough for the voters to give a clear mandate for any single direction out there. So we're not crazy about the two-party system all the time, but it might be possible to have too many options out there on the ballot as well. So that's our question of the week in our weekend newsletter that you can sign up for, again, at our website, upnorthnewswi.com. Well, break up the Brewers, their first three-game winning streak in 2 weeks. Logan Henderson recorded 7 strikeouts for the Brewers in 5 shutout innings, and there were home runs from Bryce Durang, Sal Frelick, and Rhys Hoskins as the Brewers beat Baltimore 5-2 last night. It's, again, the Brewers' first 3-game winning streak in 2 weeks, and Baltimore is now at an 8-game losing streak, and the Brewers will go for the sweep. Coverage will begin this morning at 11:35. On stations in Richland Center, Oshkosh, Racine, Kenosha, Park Falls, and Hayward. So a little matinee baseball today, Brewers and Orioles, before the Brewers hit the road again for a weekend series in Pittsburgh. Let's see, and I understand the conference finals have begun in the NBA. And again, I'm as surprised as anybody that the Minnesota Timberwolves have made it this far, but they are in the Western Conference Finals playing the Oklahoma City Thunder. And the Oklahoma City hosted and won game one of that series last night, 114-88. So there's a little update on sports and on weather. And a reminder that coming up in just about 15 minutes or so, we've got Dan Schaefer on. He joins us now Tuesdays at 8:30 and then sticks around for a while, a little bit of overtime where we continue the conversation. And so we'll be playing back some of that for you coming up in just a little bit. But after the break, we're going to hear from Christina Lori, or I'm sorry, we're going to hear from Sherita Booker, our social media manager, about some of the more popular stories that we follow. And for this week, we'll break the mold a little bit, and instead, well, we'll talk about posts that give you an idea of things that you can do around Wisconsin coming up this Memorial Day weekend. From the heart of America's Up North, live from Lake Wissota, thank you for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Well, I'm back, but I'm still getting my sea legs, if you will, and so thankfully Sherita Booker is here. Now, because I've been off, we haven't really been monitoring a lot of the posts as far as what's popular and whatnot. But who cares? There's a holiday weekend coming up, Memorial Day weekend. And so instead, we want to talk about some of the big events you could see around Wisconsin. Sherita, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Pat. I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. It's good to be back, and it's good to be hearing about all the fun that folks can have coming up this Memorial Day weekend. And of course, I mean, virtually unlimited number of events out there, but some of them more popular than others, some of them more widely known. And let's start with Bratfest in Madison this weekend, because again, something that had a very humble start, but it is a big deal now, isn't it?
Yeah, because it's actually the world's largest Bratfest, and that'll be in Madison May 23rd through the 25th at the Alliant Energy Center. This is a free and family-friendly festival that includes live music, a variety of activities like the Bratfest Fun Run, the Hot Dog Jog, and a Brody Volleyball Tournament, and a Bratfest Marketplace featuring local shops and vendors. Kids can also enjoy the Kid Zone that includes inflatables and a petting zoo. And the best part is every Brat you buy supports over 100 local charities with more than $2.7 million raised to date. And if you want more info about that, you can visit bratfest.com.
And by the way, when I say humblings for folks that might not know, this started in 1983 with grocery store owner Tom Metcalf and his wife Margaret. It was literally a brat fry with a table, three chairs, and a Weber grill. The brats were sold for 50 cents, and then it just continued to grow as he donated the proceeds, like you said, to organizations. And this thing has just, it's insane how big it's gotten, but in a very popular, very positive way around the area.
Definitely, and that supports local charities is the best part, in the community.
And the same can be said for the next event we're going to talk about, the Chippewa Valley Century Ride. This is for, and I say this with love, folks, this is for weirdos like Kristen Lyerly, who loves to talk about how she'll just, on some random Saturday, bike 100 miles. So if you want to bike 100 miles, you can, but there thankfully are shorter courses for the rest of us mere mortals, Sherita.
The 39th annual Chippewa Valley Century Ride is rolling through Chippewa Falls on Sunday, May 25th, and you can choose from 35 to 100-mile routes that take you through farms, forests, and rolling hills. The ride starts and ends at the Northern Wisconsin State Fairgrounds with rest stops and support vehicles along the way, just in case. And after the ride, they'll have another bratwurst feast with soda and beer. Registration is $65 through May 23rd and $75 on site. All proceeds for that event will go to local charities, parks, and youth programs. And if you want more details or you want to register, visit cvcride.org.
cvcride.org for that. And yeah, I mean, there's great trails here. I'm right off the old Abe Trail. Has a bridge going over the Chippewa River here at Lake Wasota. You can ride up to Jim Falls and Cornell. And from here, you can go all the way down to Eau Claire and well beyond Eau Claire. So a lot of folks love to do their biking around here, but this is a great thing for an organized ride. Again, if you don't want to do the 100 miles, there's 35 miles, 50 miles, 75 miles, and beautiful routes all the way around. So now we'll head to your neck of the woods for Veterans Park in the Milwaukee area. And the IKEA Family Kite Festival is part of Gift of Wings. Tell me more about that.
Yep, it's their 38th annual Gift of Wings Family Kite Festival, and that'll be held Saturday and Sunday, March 24th and 25th. The grand launch kicks off at noon both days. Where over 100 or 600 kites will fill the sky. There will be performances by world-renowned kite teams, including the fabulous Windjammers from Detroit and the Chicago Fire kite team. Kids can participate in the Mad Dash, where the first 100 children receive a free kite to launch together. And if you want more details about that event, visit giftofwings.com.
You've been to this event previously?
Yep, I've taken my kids twice now, and it's right on the lakefront, so it's super windy, perfect place for a kite, not a lot of trees, and it's super fun. And you see all like the big kites, the different kites, like it's a blast.
Okay, but as a spectator only, or did you bring the kids bring kites along too?
My kids brought kites.
Okay, where I'm going with this is how is your kite flying ability?
Not too shabby. Like I'm not a bad kite flyer. Like I think I've done it enough in my childhood that I'm pretty good.
Okay, well, good. That's what I wanted to hear here. You think you might go this time around too, or do you have other Memorial Day weekend plans?
I actually, I'm probably going to go. I already sent the link to my partner because I'm like, let's do it again.
All right. That sounds great. And guess what? If at that event, like the other two, you can get brats. So right. I think we all understand what's on the menu for this coming holiday weekend. Sharita Booker, thanks so much. Good to talk to you. We'll see you later.
Bye, Pat.
I have to say that my own kite flying is definitely in the Charlie Brown category with the infamous kite-eating tree that he had in the comic strips. I don't have nearly the experience. But you being down by Kenosha, again, by the lakeshore there, it's got to be a fantastic place to fly kites.
I have to assume that my kite flying skills are as much as I stand next to a person flying a kite and say to them, you're doing a great job. Keep going. Don't let anything stop you.
I don't get on the field at Lambeau. I'm still a fan.
There you go.
Still right there saying that. Mm-hmm. There you go. Speaking of fans, how would you like to see some free tickets to see the Milwaukee Brewers at American Family Field? Just be a listening to your favorite Civic Media shows, maybe like this one, on Fridays throughout the baseball season. Listen for keywords throughout the day, and then text in the keyword for a chance to win a 4-pack of Brewers tickets, club-level seats. These are wonderful seats. You are going to want to win these tickets. Complete contest rules can be found over on the Civic Media website. That, of course, is civicmedia.us. There's a lot still ahead coming up on this Wednesday morning. We will be talking a little bit with Dan Schaefer, and then afterwards we'll talk about how Congressman Derek Van Orden had claimed to be an independent voice for veterans and would position himself standing up against budget cuts that would hurt veterans. But after stiff-arming constituents and refusing to hold town halls, the only voice he seems to be hearing is the guy in the White House who wants massive cuts to the VA. We'll talk much more about that coming up here, live from Lake Wissota, on the Civic Media Radio Network. It's 6:35. Welcome back on this Wednesday morning, May 21st, live from Lake Wissota. I'm Pat Kreitlow here on the Civic Media Radio Network. As you know, when the show was expanded to 3 hours a couple of weeks back, that gave us the opportunity to add some more regular guests. Some you'll still hear at 6:30, some at 7:30, now some at 8:30. And a few at 8:30, we sometimes go a little long and tape a little bit extra and are able to share it with you at 6:30 the next morning. That is the case with Dan Schaefer, the political editor at Civic Media, and, of course, the creator of the Recombobulation Area, which is now, what is it, a 19-time Milwaukee Press Club award-winning news site. And along with all of his other work, Dan continues to write columns for his area and for Civic Media, the most recent of which is a new column about the state legislators to keep an eye on for the rest of this session in lieu of what are going to be some big elections next year. I know every election's big. These are going to be big elections next year. Could flip control of the state legislature. So I asked Dan a little bit more about the focus of this new column.
We have a real chance at accountability now that we have new maps. And so these are the legislators in the most closely contested districts. These are the ones that are most vulnerable to having the voters boot them out of office next year. You know, we all know that we're going to be paying attention to, you know, folks like Robin Voss and the Assembly Speaker, the Devin Lemahue, the Majority Leader in the Senate, and, you know, certain other legislative leaders who are, you know, key on certain committees. But I think as we look ahead to 2026, which I guess we are doing just to a certain extent today with some of these announcements with Chris Taylor, with Randy Bryce, also, you know, just kind of an eye on 2026, because especially for the state Senate, there are only half of the state Senate has been on the ballot under new maps. And so there are three Republican state senators serving in districts that were won by Kamala Harris last year. Howard Markline, Rob Hutton, and Van Wangard. So those three, you know, if Democrats were to win those three districts, and again, those are districts won by Kamala Harris just last fall, then they would be able to flip the state Senate. And that would really change a whole lot about our politics. So I think it is important for us to watch what's happening with those three senators in particular, but also, you know, the rest of the list here of the 23. I've got both Democrats and Republicans on here that are in closely competitive districts, and particularly on the Democratic side, as I look through, you know, the assembly representatives who won some of these closer races last year, a lot of them are in their first term, you know, right? You don't know exactly how things are going to play out in a legislator's first term. So I think, you know, for those who maybe I was on the edge of including in the list, if it was their first time term, I put them on the list because you never know what type of approach somebody might bring to the office. And so I think this is just a reminder to people that we have an avenue for accountability. If you know, a lot of people were really upset about the Republican-controlled state legislature's Joint Finance Committee voting 600 plus items out of Tony Evers' budget on critical things like childcare and healthcare, education, up and down the list. And so I think a lot of people are upset about that and wondering what they can do to hold certain legislators accountable. Well, I think, you know, this is the first, or, you know, the list of legislators who are in those most closely competitive districts who will have to defend the votes that they make now and in the next 2 months on the in the budget. And as, you know, so many different bills make their way through the legislature, you know, and to keep an eye on what's going to happen in the years ahead, because we as the voters can bring actual accountability in ways we could not when we were stuck under the gerrymander.
Well, you've got rookies and veterans over here in the Chippewa Valley, for example. You have Jody Emerson, who's a Democrat from Eau Claire, but her district is no longer just the city of Eau Claire, so it's not as safe as it used to be. You have Christian Phelps from Eau Claire, a brand new Democrat who could be a real up-and-comer, but only if he can defend his seat in 2026. And then you have State Senator Jeff Smith, who has a lot of experience in the Capitol, but in a district that is notoriously purple, and where he, I feel like he's really mastered, and I know he's a friend of mine as I say this, but he's really mastered the retail politics of it. But it's a district that still very much could go depending on, you know, external factors out of Jeff Smith's control. So just in that one area alone, you can see how competitive districts have made it by, as we've always been saying, not a lock that Democrats get an advantage, but more so than under gerrymandered maps.
Yeah, and Smith is a really interesting case, too. You know, he won re-election in 2022, and in 2024, Kamala Harris won the seat, but only by 2 points, right? So this is a close, you know, if voters don't like what the Democrats are doing in the process, here's an opportunity for accountability there as well. And so, you know, and I think just the list more broadly really highlights a lot of what are so often the swing areas of the state. You have, you know, your neck of the woods in the Chippewa Valley and the Eau Claire area is always going to be part of that. Western Wisconsin, there are many districts in Western Wisconsin on this list. La Crosse area, Fox Valley always emerges as a really important swing region. The Milwaukee area suburbs, there are a number of districts there. Again, I mentioned, you know, Rob Hutton before. I think his might be the most interesting for next year on the map, because, you know, this is a seat that Kamala Harris won by 6 points in the western suburbs in a rapidly shifting part of the area. And I've noticed that Hutton has posted a couple photos on his social media feeds with Tony Evers. So, you know, would that be happening? Was in a deep red safe district? I don't know.
No chance. Very quickly, state Republicans had their convention, including the Wispolitics straw poll. What did you glean from that?
Fascinating straw poll. I thought, you know, the fact that Josh Shulman and Tom Tiffany were the kind of the top two vote getters on there. Boy, that is not a deep bench for the Republicans. We actually had a piece on Josh Shulman at the Recombobulation Area that we published yesterday from a guest contributor named Jordan Morales, taking a look at some of his record in 2022, not being able to get a police funding referendum passed in one of the reddest counties in Wisconsin. And now Josh Shulman on that record is trying to run for governor.
There he is, Dan Schaefer, giving us his latest on whether the Washington County executive can run on that record, or will he face somebody like Congressman Tom Tiffany instead in a Republican primary for governor next year? And of course, the big question as well is, what about Governor Tony Evers? Is he going to run for a third term or not? So again, you can follow Dan at the Recombobulation Area and, of course, all across the Civic Media Radio Network and at civicmedia.us. All right, one of the stories that happened while I was away and just wasn't sure I wanted to get into things right away, so that's why we're talking about it today, deals with the congressman from Western Wisconsin, Derek Van Orden, a former Navy SEAL, the guy who said he was going to be an independent voice. You hear that all the time. I'm going to be an independent voice. And he was going to be it for veterans and stand up against budget cuts. We have heard him quite literally yelling, almost screaming at people that the cuts that are being planned for the VA, the cuts that are being planned for SNAP, nutritional assistance, that these things aren't going to hurt real people, that it's only going to be cutting the waste. It just seems that after stiff-arming constituents and refusing to hold town halls, the only voice he's listening to is the guy in the White House, the one that wants to make massive cuts to the VA. So it wasn't a big surprise to hear Van Orden trot out the bureaucracy boogeyman in his latest promise that the VA cuts would be all about bureaucrats and not the quality of veterans' health care. Here's a quick clip of Derek Van Orden. He was talking at the time to Veterans Affairs Secretary Doug Collins, a former Republican congressman from Georgia and himself a U.S. Air Force veteran. What you're going to hear Van Orden talking about is a hand-drawn graph that he made that purports to show that the number of doctors has stayed steady. The number of bureaucrats has gone up. Again, this is a hand-drawn graph with his assertion of what's happening at the VA. Let's give a listen.
That's the whole VA. This is the problem with the VA. Okay? This is the increase in bureaucrats. These are the doctors. It's almost a flat line. And then we have an increase with the veterans because of the PAC Act, right? So when we are going to cut the VA, and I hope you do, sir, this is where you need to make the cut, right there, in this line, right there, sir. If, Mr. Secretary, if you cut this, then this line with the doctors and stuff, the people that are actually touching our veterans and providing care can go like this, right? And then we can match the increase with vets. So, Mr. Secretary, I'm incredibly happy and looking forward to working with you and your administration.
When you cut the VA, and I hope you do, Derek Van Orden's words that you are going to hear on a loop, and he is going to lose his mind every time and say, that's not what I meant, yeah, that it was always about cutting the bureaucracy. The so-called bureaucracy, we've been hearing all about since Elon Musk and Donald Trump showed up in D.C. in terms of just how radical this would be and how many people would be hurt when they say they're hurting bureaucrats. They're hurting people who may not have MD after their name, but very much play a role in making sure that the VA runs smoothly, that there is efficiency there, that veterans are seen in a timely manner there. You can't simply cut all of the support staff in something and expect that it will still run normally. Because what you're doing then is, and I'm taking a big leap here in hyperbole, but understand where I'm going here. We're not asking doctors to start scrubbing the toilets as well, okay? And when you think, well, I'm cutting this one janitorial position and I'm cutting this one assistant director position. Those positions were there for a reason, and they weren't there just because, you know, George needs a job, so we're going to create a position, and then every VA hospital is going to have it. Government runs best with people who are engaged in the notion of public service. Government should be the people you should trust least are the people who hate government the most, who say, oh, it's all about waste, fraud, abuse, and bureaucrats, because they can never seem to produce it. Remember, Elon Musk's Doge thing was all about finding the waste, fraud, and abuse. Waste, fraud, and abuse can be against the law in this country, and yet I haven't seen anybody brought up on charges yet? Have you? Because that would be where you would prove the waste, where you would prove the fraud, where you would prove the abuse. and it seems to be lacking, which is why you see this kind of misdirection from somebody like Derek Van Orden. Oh, by the way, speaking of misdirection, here's another way not to focus on Derek Van Orden wanting to cut the VA and to cut veterans health care, is to say ridiculous things like, let's get rid of the spring elections. That's something that Derek Van Orden called for. It would require an amendment to the state constitution, but when he was asked recently about why Republicans didn't do well in the most recent spring elections, he said, Republicans don't vote, period. We just don't vote in spring elections, Van Orden said. According to a Wisconsin Public Radio story, I think they should get rid of that, he said, and fold it into a midterm or a four-year cycle. There is exhaustion from the previous election, and it's just not functional. Well, Congressman, the reason we have it like that is that we have some positions that, believe it or not, are still supposed to be nonpartisan, and the nonpartisan elections are held in the spring, so that there's this clear delineation. And if anybody has messed up that line, might be you and your folks, but the answer is not getting rid of elections. Today's history lesson is next, as we always do, mornings across the Civic Media Radio Network, live from Lake Wissota. I'm Pat Kreitlow.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
You know you make me wanna shout, kick my heels up and shout, throw my hands up and shout, throw my head back and shout, come on now.
Welcome to today's history lesson for this May 21st, 2025. Where we are joined, as always, by Melissa Kay from 97.5 WFHR and 105.5 WIRI in Wisconsin Rapids. How is Melissa today?
I am excellent. How are you?
Great, great. You've all recovered from the wonderful play that you were working on and directing. And
yeah. Oh, it was so much fun.
Good. That's awesome.
I'm so proud of my cast and crew. They did awesome.
Do you have a next project in mind already?
I'm getting a pigeon.
What? Wait a minute. I'm sorry.
Again, if I had like unlimited sound effects in front of me, this one would have been like the brakes being slammed on or the needle being dragged across the record. And say, what?
I'm getting a pigeon a play that you're directing?
Is it like Don't Let the Pigeon Drive the Bus? Is it like a play on that?
I'm going to buy a dog kennel to keep it in, and I'm going to build some stuff because I just got a skill saw. And I'm going to beat up my maintenance guy to put in electric in my shed so I don't have to run an extension cord out my window and you know, over there.
I really feel like I should apologize to the listeners that you're going to have to look online for today's history lesson because I really want to explore this more.
Do you know how many awards pigeons won during World War II?
200.
32.
Oh, I was way off.
Shiju online. Yes, pigeon mama for the win.
Woo-hoo. Yeah.
Apparently you are not.
Pigeons are awesome. They actually make really great pets. I'm excited.
I am befuddled. This is really, I did not see this coming at all. Not it.
You
your excitement is palpable.
She's right. You did ask.
I know. And I'm loving it. This is great. Ronald Isley is 84 years old today from the Isley Brothers. The American Red Cross was established by Clara Barton on this day in 1881. Happy birthday to singer Leo Sayer. He is 77 years old today. Could it scream 70s any more than this? The pre-disco 70s?
Sorry, your lapels are poking me in the shoulder right now.
Leo Sayer gave us You Make Me Feel Like Dancing, Long Tall Glasses, When I Need You, More Than I Can Say. He also wrote The Show Must Go On, which was covered by Three Dog Night. Happy birthday to Bill Champlin, who is 78 years old today, former member of Chicago.
Slow skate, everyone.
Oh, my goodness.
Slow skate.
If you ever wanted a musical transition from 70s to 80s, that was it right there.
This keyboard sound is every 80s show.
Yes. Let's see. Former Senator Al Franken is 74 years old today. Mr. T is 73 years old today. Go ahead and give it to us, Melissa. Give us the line.
I don't know it.
Mr. T?
I pity the foo.
I pity the foo.
There it is.
Okay, that was good. Yeah. Dorsey Levins, former Packers running back and the leading rusher from Super Bowl 31. He is 55 years old today. Brooklyn's Christopher George Wallace, a.k.a. Biggie Smalls or the notorious B.I.G. He was born this day in 1972, was murdered in March of 1997. On this day in 1983, I've actually got two notes here from this day in 1983. ZZ Top released a video for this song. And I'll just tell you now, rather than waiting for the singing, because I know you're imagining it, if you know anything about ZZ Top videos, this video for Give Me All Your Lovin' marked the first appearance of the Eliminator, Billy Gibbons' 1933 Ford Hot Rod that would appear in multiple other ZZ Top videos and become associated with the band.
ZZ Top's so good.
Yes. It's just a...
Every record, even their 80s stuff, people can be like, oh, 80s bands are terrible when they were in the 70s and like they get like more processed and whatnot, but they just stayed a great rock and roll band.
Mm-hmm. That was this day in 1983, and the number one song that day was by David Bowie.
Oh my gosh. Okay, wow, okay. We're just...
We're not pausing on ZZ Top.
That, of course, would be Let's Dance, which hit number one on this date 42 years ago.
Oh, God. Oh.
Wow.
Oh. I know. On this day 43 years ago, on this day in 1992, after 30 seasons, Johnny Carson hosted his second-to-last episode, and the last one featuring guests. The guests were Robin Williams and Bette Midler, the one where Bette Midler infamously sang One for My Baby God. And One for the Road. You remember watching? I'm sure you watched and thought, "Is this really it? After all these years, no more Johnny Carson on late night TV." It was a big deal.
I think it was like the first, because I was really too young for the last episode of MASH.
Yeah.
And I think it was like really the first thing where like a big TV event, like, oh, this is like it's a big ending, and I remember him crying, like wiping away tears while she was singing.
Yeah,
it was wonderful.
It was great TV history, but it has been since that time we've had Letterman and Leno, and you know, now we've got Stephen Colbert and Jimmy Fallon, Jimmy Kimmel, and soon to be joined by Melissa Kay with Pigeon Talk, we're going to learn more about the dog kennel and everything else that you're doing to become a pigeon mama.
Yeah,
I am okay.
I'm so excited. I got permission from my landlords. They wear pigeon pants. Do you know this? This is why she said I could get them, because they need time outside their cage every day, and they wear something called pigeon pants, which are like a diaper for a bird, and they're super cute. They're so adorable. They got like little suspenders.
I got no words right now. None.
Pants. This is just so great, Tony. This is how I felt when the Pat Kreitler show ended and the host went to Europe. No more Pat in the morning, but then you came back and it was all so good. See, that's what happens when you got Melissa here. This is also World Meditation Day, National Waitstaff Day, and Talk Like Yoda Day, marking the 1980 anniversary of the release of Star Wars V, The Empire Strikes Back, 45
Pigeon,
years ago
get.
Today. Pigeon, I will get.
Pants they will wear.
Break we will take.
Melissa Kay, you are the best. Have a great day. We'll talk to you later on. We are going to be visiting with Earl Ingram coming up, and so much more ahead on these mornings, live from Lake Wasota, across the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitler.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.